What's up, everybody? This week I'm joined by Sarah as we take a look at one of the most polarizing figures in American political history, 42nd President Bill Clinton. That and a whole lot more is to come on this week's episode of the 90s Podcast. Welcome to the show. Hey, everybody. What's going on? This is John here. How are you doing? Well, I'm doing good. I'm over my crud, finally. And I'm joined by Sarah. Sarah, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm feeling a lot better than what I did last time we were here.
Yay!
Hopefully we won't have to cut out as much coughing and heaving like we did last time. Yes.
Hopefully not.
Yes. You guys won't have heard any of it because I spent the last 24 hours painstakingly removing all the coughing. You are welcome. All the ums and ahs are still in there, but the coughing's gone, so...
Right.
I don't know why I'm talking about the machinations. I don't know. So, Sarah, how are you doing?
I am well.
Good.
It's that whole first of the year planning extravaganza. All the stuff that I should have done in fourth quarter that I didn't get to.
Now you're getting to first quarter.
Uh-huh.
Oh, you know.
Yep. But it's okay. We got it.
Planning is always a good thing.
Yes, it is.
Yes. We have been doing some home renovation today.
Yes.
I say we sent the boy up to do most of it.
Yes, we have a teenager. We paid. It was not unpaid child labor.
He was
paid with the new cell phone. So, yeah. Yes. He wanted the big upgrade. So
he got the big upgrade, and now he put Nokia 1997 ringtones on it.
That's our child.
Yeah.
If you know us in real life, you would know that is totes. Yeah. So, but we're not here to talk about the boy.
We're not here to talk about him, no. We're here to talk about somebody else. We're here to talk about the 42nd President of the United States of America.
Yes.
Now, before we go ahead and get started, let's set some ground rules down.
Yes.
This is not a partisan hackery podcast.
No.
We don't sugarcoat anything that he did or didn't do.
Right.
We're just pointing out what he did do.
And this is a factual thing.
Yes, this is all pulled from reliable sources and his Wikipedia page.
Yes.
But mostly, you know, we want to make sure that there's no slant to this.
Right.
Because politics these days is so polarizing.
Right.
You know, hang on one second. It is so polarizing, and if you're not for one thing, then you must automatically be for the other.
Right.
You know, it's very polarizing, and I don't have time for that stuff, especially in my labor of love.
Mm-hmm.
So, everything that we talk about is the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help us God.
Amen.
So, let's get started. Sarah, first of all, what did you think of Mr. Bill?
I mean, he did some good things, he did some bad things, but... that's the last time I can remember us being in as big of a surplus as we were.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, when he left, we had money.
Yeah. I think everybody had money.
Everybody had a little bit of change in a pocket. So, I mean, now that doesn't excuse the other stuff.
No.
But financially, we were good.
Well, you know.
Is that also not the last president that we haven't been at war?
No, he was at war a few times. We had a couple of little skirmishes.
Right, but I mean like war. No, we were in skirmishes, but I'm talking about war.
Bosnia.
Were we at war in Bosnia?
Yeah, you guys were helping
the coalition. We helped, but did we declare?
Oh, that I don't know. Well,
that's
what
I'm saying.
Out.
Technically, find out, because this is going to be a two-parter, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so for the next part, find that out.
Okay, I'll find that out.
Okay, cool. All right, so let's do some background on William Jefferson Clinton, who is actually not born William Jefferson Clinton.
It's not on his birth certificate, therefore he can't run for president, MAGA.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Sorry.
I thought we weren't doing any political slants.
Just that one.
Uh-huh, just that one. Okay, we let that slide in.
We're not doing any political slants about the man himself.
Right.
I mean, you know, it's not, considering our content...
Right.
It's not hard to guess which side of the line we follow.
Right.
And extremism is not to be tolerated.
Correct. But back to Mr. Clinton. He was actually born William Jefferson Blythe III in 1946 in Hope, Arkansas.
Yeah.
He,
like a lot of people, had a stepdad. And in 1960, he changed his name.
Yes. I was going to say, Hope, that's pretty much, Hope is little, and Hope's actually not that far from here. And before 49 went north, in order to go see all my kinfolk, you'd had to go through Hope. Yeah. So,
it's a nice place.
Yes. So his family and his mother's side provided goods and services to all races in the segregated American South, which is a rarity at the time.
Yeah. Wasn't it also illegal at the time?
Not always, especially not in Arkansas. Okay. But educationally, you know, he attended Georgetown, Oxford, and Yale. He was a student president at Georgetown, and he met his future wife, Miss Hillary Rodham Clinton, or Rodham at the time, at Yale.
Yeah, you know, with all that experience, with all his lawyer, and he became a two-time governor of Arkansas, winning a combined four terms.
Yes.
Now, what I mean by that is he had two terms, didn't win a third term, then came back and won two more terms.
Right.
So he pulled Taft.
Something like that, yes, yes. So, but he actually decided to get into politics and have a public political career, excuse me, after meeting JFK. And in the conclusion of the MLK's I Have a Dream speech. And there's actually a picture, and it used to be put around quite a lot back in the day. But because he was from Arkansas and his last name was Clinton, he was one of the people out of the students that went to the White House that day. It was that there's actually he was photographed shaking JFK's hand.
Cool.
So, yeah. But yeah, he was actually elected president in 1992.
Yeah, well, let's talk a little bit about his backstory for a minute.
Yes.
It was hard as a president to be from the South at that time in 92. I mean, you had George H.W. Bush, but he wasn't necessarily southern. He wasn't depicted as a typical southern man.
No, he wasn't depicted as southern as his son was, because he was actually HW lived in Texas,
but he's not from
but
Texas.
He wasn't from Texas, right. So other than that, the last quote southern president had been Carter.
Yeah.
And you'll actually see a lot of duality played between them, because, you know, with Carter, he had his brother Billy, who everybody made fun of with Billy Beer. And our dear Bill had Roger, and Roger got in some stuff.
Yes.
So, yes.
So.
Yes. All right. So.
The election of 1992.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Clinton got his campaign running mate to be Al Gore, who was a senator from Tennessee and the inventor of the internet.
Yes.
Yes.
God bless that man.
He was actually a popular choice of candidate, and some expected him to run back in 88.
No, that wouldn't have gone down
well. It wouldn't have gone down well at all. But his appearances on late night television led to a renewed interest in the political sphere. You know, he did Arsenio and... Played
the saxophone
and all that good
stuff.
Did
not inhale.
Yeah. right. But his charisma and youth helped him win rural voters as well as moderates. Both he and Gore were from the South, which blew holes in the Republican assumption of the Democrats being Northern liberals.
Yeah. I mean, because, you know, it's like we've said before, North-South dichotomy in the UK, the soft Southern shandy drinkers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything's easier for them and blah, 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 blah. Well, you got these two well-educated Southern gentlemen,
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden you can't say that they're, you know,
right.
namby-pamby liberals.
Right. You know? And Gore's military experience helped shield Clinton from criticism of his own military background. Also, random trivia. The patron saint of the podcast, because it all goes back to Courtney Love.
All goes back to Courtney.
Yes. At one point in time, her most direly coveted eBay purchase was, because she spent years trying to find it. Tipper Gore was actually in a punk band.
Really?
Which, yes. And there was a limited EP release of some singles, which is hilarious. For those who should remember that Tipper Gore was the mastermind behind the parental advisory stickers.
Mm.
We have those because of Tipper Gore.
Mm.
So, but she was in a female punk band back in the day that was very, you know, very Punkalicious. So
she needed her own parental advisor.
Yes, she did. So there was a period of time where Courtney was going toe to toe with people on eBay
to get that
desperately
stuff.
Well,
see, okay, a lot of criticism came around those parental lyrics, parental guidelines from the way it came about, but you have the ESRB for video games, you have the movie board that rates things as whatever. Music kind of needed something like that because.
But those came out before video game ratings.
Yeah. But not the movie ratings.
Well, no. Movie ratings have been around for
TV
a while.
Ratings. Yeah. I mean, you know, they all had them. So music was going to be the next logical set. Of course, there wasn't an ESRB back in the 80s. Pong?
Shh.
Shh. Oh, okay. We're doing that, are we?
Okay. So.
He ran against.
George H.W. Bush.
The greatest Dana Carvey impression of all.
Yes. And Bush was the incumbent, who had an approval rating of 80% at 81 due to the American success at Operation Desert Storm, and he was considered unbeatable.
Yeah, I mean...
Just spank his butt and call him Molly Brown. He was unsinkable.
Yeah, you're looking at a 1980... you're looking at a 1984 level of...
Right.
...popularity here, where maybe Clinton would win Arkansas, and that's about it.
Right.
But...
Yeah, see, for those who remember those SNL skits, Daddy Bush messed up because he had promised, you ran on, his biggest promise was read my lips, no new taxes. And, you know, during the aftermath of most wars, historically, the economy has a downturn. And because of that,
taxes
had to go up. And the Christian conservative wing of the party came in hard. They alienated moderates in the party. And he saw his approval cut to just 40%.
That's a heck of a drop.
Yeah, that's over half. And so opportunist, Clinton was like, hey.
Well, it wasn't just Clinton, too. I mean, he went toe-to-toe with The Simpsons. The Simpsons was cutting edge back then.
I mean,
something along the lines of, we need more families like the Waltons and less like The Simpsons. And The Simpsons replied to it on the Tracy Ullman Show, which is their spiritual home. Say something along the lines of, yeah, we're like the Waltons, too. We're waiting for an end to the Great Depression. Which... Again, just chipped away. But there was something that happened in the 92 election that neither Clinton nor Bush expected, and that was Ross Perot.
Ross Perot, yes. Who is arguably one of the most famous independent candidates to date.
Yeah, especially in modern times.
Yes.
In the last 100 years or so.
Right. Nader would be a second, but Perot... Oh, Perot. Okay. Perot had money. But see, the thing is that Perot actually had really good ideas. Perot was just a little...
Throat.
Perot wasn't throat. Perot came from the IT industry. He was very, very smart. And he had very, very good ideas how to do things. Perot just had undiagnosed ADD. and he was a little spitfire. And he was little, too. And he was this little old man. And he would just bounce around and talk 90 to nothing. And people couldn't understand what the hell he was saying because he was talking so fast. But it was actually really good stuff. But yeah, he was a billionaire. And billionaire in early 90s money.
Yeah.
So that's like, whoop. I mean, he was
a trillionaire now.
Right. Like, he is who Bill Gates wanted to be, money-wise. He was a former IBM salesman who formed the company EDS, which provided data solutions to companies. And many of them, were government contracts.
He originally dropped out of the race and simply because he didn't like Congress.
Right.
And he dropped out the same day that the Democrats appointed Clinton as their nominee. So, was that foreshadowing? Or was that him thinking that... Because Clinton was getting popular at that point.
He
caught fire.
Right. Oh, yeah, he did.
You know, as a candidate. And a lot of people were turned on by his youthfulness and his charm.
Right.
You can say what you want about Bill Clinton.
Oh, he was a charming, charming thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he was.
He could talk the grease off of a break, you know?
And he talked out both sides of his mouth.
Oh, of course he did.
Yeah. I mean, there
more so
were...
for a politician.
Right.
And keep in
mind, I come from the South. So, folks know people. you know?
Yeah.
And folks know people who know people. And so he would, you know, do things and promise things. If you support me over here, I'll do this for you over here. And then magically that stuff did not come to fruition.
Of course he didn't. He's a politician.
Right. So,
he would have done anything to get elected.
Right. But Perot ended up running on an independent platform, you know, taxing the wealthy, lowering tax on the middle class, and cutting spending to balance the budget and cut the deficit. I mean,
he won that first debate.
He did. I mean, but I mean, all of, like I said, Perot knew what he was talking about. He absolutely did. He just
couldn't stay focused.
Yeah.
Couldn't stay focused.
So Clinton ended up winning the election, winning 43% of the popular vote, split three ways, and 370 electoral votes.
Which is more or less landslide territory.
Right. Perot received 19% of the vote, the largest amount of third-party votes since Teddy Roosevelt. And Bush became the first sitting Republican president to lose an election since Herbert Hoover.
Now, there's been a lot of models run.
Uh-huh.
And Clinton wouldn't have won that election without Perot.
Maybe.
Models run, if they did ranked right. voting, people said that they would have voted for, but more people said more Perot voters would have voted for Bush than Clinton. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
So they've had models run of say it was split two thirds right. a third and so on right. and so forth. And without Perot, Clinton would not have been president.
Mm.
So that's food for thought.
And we're going to go back and discuss more things that happened during the presidencies later, but we're just establishing a timeline here. But then, you know, after his first term, Clinton ended up being reelected in 96.
Yes.
And he ran against Republican candidate Bob Dole.
Bob Dole wants to tell you about what Bob Dole thinks.
Yes.
And Ross Perot.
Yes.
Let's not forget Perot ran a second time. He wasn't successful.
Right.
But he did run for another. He did have another go.
Right. Bob Dole was... Bob Dole spoke about himself in third person at times. He was a successful senator, but he's also the only of course, then again, they didn't have these back then. But, I mean, he did go on to, after he left politics, do erectile dysfunction commercials.
Bob Dole wants to tell you about Viagra.
Yes. Yes, Bob, not to be confused with the Smiling Bob commercials. Those were pretty hilarious. So if you're too young to remember those, Google is your friend. But no, at the time...
Don't Google at work, though.
No. At the time, Dole was 73 years old when he was running for president. And Clinton focused on his own age, pointing out that he was young and energetic. And presented Dole as an aged conservative before Dole was even the official candidate.
So he was taking his shots before...
Right, right. And, you know, Dole's comebacks were seen as an attempt to pander to older voters. But they really... It didn't go so well with the younger ones.
No, the younger crowd didn't want, as Clinton described him, another aged conservative running things for... Again, you already had Ronald Reagan, who was older when he became president. You already had H.W. Bush, who was older when he became president.
And you have to think, Clinton's a boomer. Yeah. So it was the boomer ones that were younger, and Dole was from the older, quote, greatest generation.
Yeah.
Dole, and so...
Clinton appealed to the boomers and Gen X. Kind of like certain politicians do.
He bridged
Gen Z.
Well. Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah, he, sorry, you kind of threw me there for a second. Yeah, it would have been,
sorry.
It would have been, no, you're good. It would have been, Gen X and boomers, but, just because Clinton, he was boomer, but this was before boomers were as jaded too.
Yeah. That's
like
true.
Boomers weren't as, but anywho, so
they weren't as boomerific as they are now.
Yeah, they weren't okay boomer. They were like, boomer.
we're the baby boomers.
But the thing is, the baby
boomers were seen as what we see millennials now.
Right, but you also have to understand is that the baby boomer generation is huge.
Oh yeah,
I mean that's the whole thing. That's boom. By definition, right. And so Clinton was one of the first of their ranks to be wildly successful in that. And they saw themselves in that. So he was very clearly boomer.
Yeah.
And they were, you know what I mean? They identified. And so en masse, it's sort of like millennials and whatnot with Obama and what, even though Obama isn't a millennial.
He's Gen
He is to Gen X and millennials
what Clinton was
to boomers and Gen X, if that makes sense. Yeah. So, yeah. But anyway, we can go down this rabbit hole forever. But the election results turned out that the RNC began to distance themselves from Dole due to his poor poll numbers.
Yes.
And they focused on retaining the House. Imagine you suck so bad where they just pull your funding before even the first
ballot's cast.
Yeah, before the I mean, after the primaries, you're like, no, we're really? Not.
If this is the best that we can do, well.
Right.
Let's get Fred Thompson out here.
Right. So he basically got like coupon ads. I mean, really. So Clinton ended up winning the popular vote and the Electoral College, taking 31 states and 379 electoral votes, which is phenomenal.
Yes.
And so
so let's talk about Bill himself, okay?
Okay.
Let's talk about the persona that he pulled out, which is, you know, is something that we hadn't seen in American politics since Teddy Roosevelt.
We'd seen a lot of it in JFK.
Seen a lot of it in JFK too, but I mean, JFK didn't have as long to stamp his authority on things.
Oh, yeah, this
because
is true.
Of circumstance.
Yeah,
you know.
But we do love us a younger, with it. Good orator. Like, we love us a good orator.
Yes.
I mean, look at Obama.
Yes.
And then you looked at Clinton. And Reagan was a good orator.
Yep.
And
W was a good orator, too, when he got it right.
At times.
I mean, he had the
I love W after he's left office as a person. Simply because he's
trying to atone.
That is a man who knows he has to atone for a lot of things and a lot of lives.
He had a charisma about him, too. It's just he could never get the words out correctly.
W spent too long trying to get out from underneath Daddy's shadow, and then he spent longer underneath Rove and Cheney to do anything, whatever. But back to Clinton.
I mean, he wanted to be the next JFK. There's no.
Yes, and he was the youngest since JFK. Which one of them was younger when they went in office?
Let me pull that up.
While he Googles, do 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 do. But
all right, Bill Clinton was 46.
Right. And JFK
was 43.
Yeah. So right neck and neck. And I hate to say it, if TMZ, well, TMZ wasn't even around with, if the Inquirer and the Globe had been around back in the 60s, dear God, would JFK have gotten the same, I mean,
treatment.
Even worse than Clinton did. So,
I mean, but there's, you know, he wanted a JFK cowboy style legacy. He wanted to be, I don't mean cowboy, you know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
He wanted that adoration. He wanted to be spoken of the same breath as JFK.
Right.
I mean, he from meeting JFK, he said, that's what I want to do. And he did it. He's clawed, scratched, lied, cheated, and stole his way to the presidency.
But he didn't. He was very, in hindsight, he's very moderate. I mean, he's seen as liberal by Republicans and slightly conservative by liberals. But, you know, he was able to kind of meld and mesh everything together.
He's an example of a true centrist. Not the centrist people think about right now, where they, you know, where one side wants to give people a tax break and the other side wants to kill gay people.
Right.
Oh, which side is best? That's not centrism. You know, that's oversimplifying things.
His gun control stuff was at the time seen very liberal.
Yeah.
His spending cuts and his tax cuts were very conservative. And he was a good negotiator, as well as someone who kept his word when he had to.
When he had to.
Yes. And he was able to spin government shutdowns in his favor.
Yeah, because the last government shutdown before the one that Obama had was through the Clinton administration.
Yeah, yeah. And he was seen as hip. I mean, his performance in Arsenio Hall opened a lot of people's eyes. Tim is not just, you know, a candidate, but a person. And his sax performance was a highlight. And his family history also endeared him to minority voters, some who saw him as an ally. And there are a lot of people who joked, a lot of people of color who joked before Obama that Clinton was the first black president.
Yeah.
I mean, because he just, he had a je ne sais quoi.
You know who he reminds me of? Seriously? We watched it a couple of weeks ago. He reminds me of the portrayal of Elvis.
Yeah. Yeah, he was like the Elvis of politics. That's weird. It as the kids would say, that tracks, so.
I mean, think about it, right? The parallels are there. Mm-hmm. He hung out in black neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. His family did a lot of stuff in black neighborhoods, right, in segregation.
Right.
He was seen as an outsider who melded together some form of image.
Right.
You know. So, I mean, it's just... his personality overrides pretty much all of his policies, though, if that makes sense. His policies were there, but you
can
see...
you bleep me? His overrode all of his policies, dear. Especially going back and looking at his image, you know, whatnot. Yeah. Not image, legacy. Legacy. Are important. Yeah. His legacy. Clinton was an enigma. He got a lot of stuff done. Some good.
Some bad.
Some bad. Some seemed good at the time. Don't Ask, Don't Tell was... okay, it seemed like it was something at the time.
It was better than the alternative,
right,
at the time.
But it ended up doing a lot of lasting damage.
Yes.
And so there's a lot of, you know, we were a different place then, which is, it sounds on one hand like a huge cop-out, but it just, we just were. And I think at the time, I don't think he'd be that great of a president now. He was good for his time.
That's a fair statement.
Where it counted. But he was also, like all people, deeply flawed.
Oh,
especially people who were that ambitious for the top spot. Very, very deeply flawed. And really led around by his...
Well, you've got to understand, though, you've got to have an ego to want to be president of the United States. You got to have an ego to be president, prime minister, supreme leader of any nation in the world.
Jimmy Carter.
Fair.
Okay.
But to Jimmy Carter, it was just a job.
No. To Jimmy Carter... Jimmy Carter was the Fred Rogers of presidents. Like, Jimmy Carter literally, God bless his little soul.
His peanut farm having soul.
Right. He literally just wanted to make the world a better place. I mean, he's like the Bob Ross of presidents, for those who don't get the Fred Rogers thing. But, I mean, he literally just wanted to leave it better than he found it. And was a good man. Well, because of the timing in Iran and whatever. But he's done way more...
out of
post,
office.
Yeah, than he was able to accomplish in. But that's another story for another day.
But I mean, you've got to have some form of ego to think, I'm going to take on the top job in
yes.
any country.
Yes.
Even if you don't show it. Like Tony Blair was the same thing. He
right.
he was parallel. You can run parallels between him and Clinton, and, you know, with the exception of the third party stuff, but and the stuff. But you know, young hip charisma. You know, he goes on talk shows playing his guitar,
mm-hmm.
hangs out with rock stars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know.
I mean, you do what you got to do to get the job in a lot of places. But.
Well, you know, I don't know. I don't want to defend him.
Either, no.
Because
no.
He's done some things that are indefensible.
Right.
Not just policy-wise, but personal-wise, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, you know, he has visited Epstein Island once or twice, which you can't have it both ways. You know, that's I think, the difference between modern political viewpoints. One side will defend their side to the hilt, while the other side says, well, if what they've done is illegal and immoral,
right,
get him out of here.
Right.
You know, and I say get him out of here because,
right,
you know,
yeah,
that's how it is. It's mostly us fellas who are doing that.
Yeah.
I mean, last night, I mean, we were recording this a couple of weeks in advance. Last night, there was almost a fist fight on the floor of the House when they were trying to elect a speaker.
Finally. Thank God. If at first you don't succeed,
try 15 times again.
I was just going to say, just hold the whole country hostage until you do.
Yes.
It's kind of what we had happen. But anyway, no, Clinton was just a mishmash. He was literally like, if you took JFK and if you took JFK's charisma, right? And
it's called a bit of a president.
Right. And then it took, we're building a president. Take JFK's charisma, right? You mix in a little bit of Carter's Ponock, right? You throw in the moxie of both JFK and Reagan a bit, because Clinton really thought that his poop didn't stink, and he found out that it did. I mean, Ken Starr really was just like, here's a litmus test of your Yeah, I mean, he did some good things, and he did some bad things, and he did some great things, and he did some really good things. But, I mean, there are very few presidents that you could look and say that at least morally they did the best that they could.
They did the best of their time.
They did. They weren't self-serving.
Correct.
There's very few that you could go, well, they weren't self-serving.
Well, policy-wise, he wasn't self-serving, but power-wise, he was totally self-serving.
Oh, well, yeah.
So, I mean, you got to have an ego for the top job.
Yeah.
So.
Well.
So that is it for the background of Bill, as I want to call it. This one's a little shorter than normal, I understand that, but that's okay, because we get into the good stuff next week.
Yes.
Yes. So, Sarah, thanks for joining us.
No problem, and sorry for running my mouth so fast.
Oh, it's fine.
Okay.
It's fine. I run my mouth a little fast, too.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. But arguments between us are like, we can have like entire like months full of fights if we don't really fight. But if we wanted to. If we wanted.
We could have a whole argument in 10 minutes.
In GIFs.
Oh, yeah. All right, we'll be back here in a couple of minutes.
Toodaloo.
Toodaloo, everybody. We'll be right back.
Bye.
So, we are done talking about Bill Clinton for this week.
Yes.
So, that's...
We went a little quick this time, but it's because there's so much to talk about, and it is a two-parter, that we had to sort of find the divide somewhere.
Yes.
But next week, we're going to talk about some of those good things that happen.
Some bad things that happen.
Right. And everything in between. Everything from the dress... to FMLA.
And the stuff you want to hear about. Let's not be catty. Yeah. Everybody, when they think of Bill Clinton, they think of the impeachment trial. So
that's why I said the dress.
Oh, the dress. Yes. I forgot about the dress.
Mm-hmm.
So that's coming up next week. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to pull up my handy dandy little Google.
Yes.
And answer a question that we asked
Ooh. Normally I'm not here with you at the end, so what are we doing? What do we have for her, Johnny?
Well.
What? What do you got?
Okay. I'm asking Google.
Uh-huh.
Did America start a war under Bill Clinton?
Yeah.
And it auto-corrected or suggested, did America start a war under Bill Cosby?
Oh, no.
So, did America start a war?
Mm-hmm.
No. He did not start a formal...
That's what I was going to say. We had skirmishes, but we assisted. But he was a peacetime president. I was fairly certain.
There was problems in Somalia and Rwanda, well as the Bosnian War between Bosnia-Herzegovina, Kosovo, and the former Yugoslavia.
So, I mean, I'm not saying there wasn't nothing going on and that he, you know, just smoked the peace pipe the whole time. He was also... Do you have that in here?
I don't think so.
Oh, my God. How did we not talk about, well, I smoked it, but I didn't inhale?
Because we went too quickly.
Because I went too quickly. Okay, but that was part of the stuff that was on Arsenio Hall. So
we'll get to that next week.
Yes, but he's, oh yeah, again, he's the first president who publicly admitted...
To drug use.
I mean, you know, JFK had Dr. No or Dr. Feelgood. Dr. Feelgood, not Dr. No. That was James Bond.
That's James Bond.
But... JFK had Dr. Feelgood, and Bill Clinton had Dr. Mario, or whatever you smoke while playing, whatever. So, yeah. But we're going to talk more about that next week.
So, I've got Sarah here, right? And
yes.
I'm going to ask her a question.
Oh, no.
And I want to see what her response is to this.
Uh-oh.
This is something I want you guys in on as well, by the way.
Oh, crap.
All right.
Uh-huh.
I need a game idea.
Oh, no. Yes.
What do you think I should play after playing Monkey Island?
You don't want my response.
What is your response?
I'm going to tell you to play something that you don't want to play.
Which is?
I mean, something along the lines of Resident Evil.
Okay.
Or my favorite, check to see when Parasite Eve came out. That is my absolute favorite PS1 game.
If it's PS1, it's definitely in the 90s.
Parasite Eve was the best. Or, oh my gosh.
1998.
What about the X-Files game?
I've got the X-Files game sitting on my desk.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So something a little bit harder than puzzle games in the Odd Mario series.
No, the cool thing about the X-Files game is that it was the first thing to actually have clips.
I might not be able to do that one. Because of ye old YouTube. They might strike me. And I don't need strikes. I've got several slaps on the wrist so far. They give me a slap on the wrist for Sonic.
For really?
Yes.
I would look at that. When did Portal come out?
That was 2010s, I think.
No, it wasn't.
2000s.
The OG Portal?
Yep.
The cake is a lie?
The cake is a lie. And according to Steam...
I didn't ask Steam. I asked Google.
Well, Steam is the company that made Portal, Sarah. Portal came out...
Uh-huh.
A long, long time ago.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Steam doesn't tell me.
Google. There you go. That's what I'm talking about.
It was 2007.
Oh.
It's a little out of our time frame and it's not a remake, so I can't use it. Now, if it was released around about 2002, I probably could get away with using 2002.
You can play Spyro.
I've got Spyro. I might do Spyro next. I might do Resident Evil next. After I finish Monkey Island.
Resident Evil, I mean, it's got puzzles. It's got shoot-ems. It's got it's strategy. You got to remember the map.
Got to take care of the dogs.
The dogs will scare the crap out of you. Yes. Oh, there's also another one called D.
Okay.
I'm not going to tell you anything about it.
Okay.
That's the whole point. You have to be... Well, I mean, you'll know because you'll look it up.
Right.
To research it.
Well, I've got to research it. If I've never played the game before, I've got to research it so I know what I'm doing.
Right. Okay.
If it's a game I've played countless times before.
The only hint that I'll give you is if you read Anne Rice or played Masquerade back in the day, you would enjoy D.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Well,
I've alluded it to a couple of times. So on January 31st, mm-hmm. which is the day of birth of one of us.
Hi.
The day before is the day of birth for me, which is so easy on birthday cards.
Oh, yeah, it is.
So January 31st, we will start our playthrough of Monkey Island 2, LeChuck's Revenge.
Fabulous.
Now, once we get done with that, mm-hmm. we're going to play Monkey Island 3, The Curse of Monkey Island. And then after that...
You're just really whole hogging this Monkey Island thing, huh?
Well, the first Monkey Island finishes with an ending. The second Monkey Island finishes with a bad ending. Monkey Island 3 tails completely and utterly straight away from Monkey Island 2, so it's worth doing it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So, Monkey Island 2 and Monkey Island 3 are coming up.
Fabulous.
So, yes, that's starting January 31st, every Tuesday and Thursday over on our YouTube channel.
Cool.
So, do you like archives? I like archives. I don't know what I'm saying. If you like archives, you like to listen to some of our older...
We were talking about ICP the other day, so I'm like, do you like Mel Carter? I'm like... I knew... okay, I can't juggalo today. Now I have that song in my... John,
you're the one who brought ICP
what
up.
What is a juggalo? Okay.
Anyway... Okay, if you like what you hear and want to go through our archives, go to becausewenetwork.com. That's got every episode of every single show that we've ever done. That's the streaming, that's the video games, and that's all the podcasts that we've ever done.
Now I'm over here talking about Faygo. Just cut it. We love y'all. We'll see you next week.
Well, hang on. I'm not done yet.
You're not done. I'm done.
You're done. Okay. Well, then go away. If you like archives, if you like listening to us, go check out our archives. That's where you find every episode of every show that we've ever done. Go check out our social media pages on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Twitter's still around right now. I don't know how much longer that's going to be, but oh well. That's where you find the latest news and what's happening in the Because Movie Network. And don't forget to check out Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Podchaser, Pandora, YouTube, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn, Podbean, or Amazon Music. That's where you'll find the podcast if this is not where you currently listen to podcasts. So if you're an Apple Podcast user and you found this on Podbean, we are on Apple Music and so on and so forth, okay? So I will be back next week. Sarah will be back next week, where we continue our conversation on William Jefferson Bligh III, President of the United States of America. And until then, we'll take care of yourself. Take care of yourself and each other. I don't know what I'm talking about. I always never know how to end these things. So I'm going to end it now. Take it easy, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.